Today's episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an easy-to-use app that allows you to compete in player-versus-player fantasy sports contests. Use the promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, for a deposit bonus worth up to $100. And with that, Daniel Green, we are ready for our season-long episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Daniel Green, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well, man. We have to let the listeners know that we did like 15 takes for that intro. So I'm just happy we finally made one that's going to make the show.
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, but it's good to be back. It's good to have a season-long show. I know that a lot of listeners have been waiting for the show and awaiting your presence to rejoin the podcast for this week. So I'm pumped up. Also checking scores. I'm having a decent night in DFS, which is always a good thing. Hopefully you played some Emmanuel Mudiay. Dear God, he exploded tonight. But yeah, it's good to be here, man. I've missed you. We've all missed you.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning of the podcast, I should introduce myself now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't, so.
That's okay.
We'll just keep going here. That's right. We have been asked quite a bit for season long content, and that's what we're going to do today. And as a way to show our listeners how much we love them, Daniel, we're going to read some Twitter questions and we're going to answer some Twitter questions.
We are a podcast of the people, Mark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So our first question, and let me make sure I get this right.
League pass alert, Mark. League pass alert. Larry Nance Jr. concussion, will not return Sunday night.
Oh no! Are you serious?
Serious. That's the second biggest news of the night. First is that Mark Stein has now not been allowed ever again to rejoin the Dallas Mavericks arena. His press pass has been revoked by Mark Cuban. Fascinating news. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on confirmation on that one, but yeah, evidently there's been some sort of a flare up there. My guess is that they work that out. Mark Stein.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure, the Nance Jr. is hopefully he won't miss too much time with that. That's disconcerting.
Oh, and I guess the other news that we should definitely bring up for a season long podcast is it appears that the Pelicans are going to sign Archie Goodwin and potentially release Lance Stephenson, who is injured and is going to require out indefinitely. We're going to require surgery. So the conjecture, at least tonight, is that they will release Lance Stephenson and they will sign Archie Goodwin. The question here, Daniel, is do you care?
Well, first of all, don't use words like conjecture with me, because Tyler and Kyle don't talk like that.
What does that mean?
that was such an – man, that's such an intelligent word. I mean, I don't even know what that means. No, I'm kidding. So, I mean, the Archie Goodwin thing is somewhat interesting. Like, I remember last year when we talk about Phoenix on every show, like we both liked him, man.
Yeah, he's I think he's a better fantasy player than a real life player. But like when he gets minutes fantasy wise, he does very well.
Yeah, like I like him. And the thing right now, like Tim Frazier, who started the year really well, they've basically benched him now. I think two out of the last three games, gangster Langston Galloway has been getting a lot of minutes at that like the guard point guard spot in the fourth quarters. And he's been playing pretty well, but I mean, Archie Goodwin is certainly capable of getting minutes there and playing, you know, playing ahead of Frazier and Langston Galloway. So that's like he's, you know, I wouldn't go run to a waiver wire and pick him up, but he's an interesting guy just to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, and I might pick him up in like 16 team leagues.
Yeah, something like that's okay, yeah. I guess.
Yeah,
just hoping
that he comes through.
Yeah, and he just keep it first. He'd be also obviously a sneaky DFS play maybe if starts getting some minutes.
Yeah, like how many minutes do you think he'd have to play before you would put him in your DFS lineup?
I mean, typically in DFS, if like you know, he'll probably start at the minimum price around 3.5K on a site like FanDuel. I really need someone to be getting about 22 minutes before I'll consider kind of playing them. And that's like the minimum price.
Right. I would guess he gets like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, so I would think, you know, he at that minimum price, he becomes, you know, he's an interesting guy to keep your eye on, because there's, you know, guys the gang, Langston Galloway, he got in the, you know, up mid to upper 20s, I think, the last couple games. So There's minutes to be had there.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our first Twitter question from Mets Jets Tweet. At Mets Jets Tweet, I guess. He says, when should we be concerned about Jokic? Can you discuss on next pod? My concern about Nikola Jokic has sort of vacillated throughout the season so far, as he's had some really good games and some not so good games, but we're now approaching three games in a row where he hasn't scored in double digits. He hasn't played more than 23 minutes in any of those three games. He hasn't had more than 6 rebounds in any of those three games. Daniel Green, is it time to be worried?
What's like the level right below panic?
Above panic, like
below, not, right below.
Not as severe as panic.
Yeah, not as severe.
That's worried. Worried, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's where I am. The entire Denver front court is an absolute atrocious mess, and that's only because of Mike Malone. Like, he has just a burning desire to play everyone, like, minutes, and to befuddle all of the fantasy owners. He's like been super secretive. If you saw his interview today that he gave, because I was trying to figure out who they're going to start.
Tell me about him.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I was trying to figure out who I wanted to play in DFS for Denver, like always. And then he gives like a cryptic message about they're changing the starting five, but he won't say who. And I'm like, dude, this isn't like the CIA. Like, and, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, he's giving cryptic hints to the media that he's going to do like a shakeup. But he doesn't tell anyone what that is. And then he's just very tight-lipped. He's very secretive. He's somewhat like Rick Carlisle in that way. I mean, Rick Carlisle hates telling you like anything, like who he's going to start if someone's injured for that given night. But so like Mike Malone, man, it's very troubling. Like, if you look at the minutes today, and this has been pretty common, like Nurkic, 13 minutes. That's god awful.
Jokic started and played 13 minutes, which is really disappointing.
Jokic, 22 minutes. That's, again, pretty terrible. And he started. Kenneth Faried, 24 minutes. That's up for him from the last couple of games. And then you had no Darrell Arthur today even, because I think he was just getting rested on a back-to-back. So that's with no Darrell Arthur. So you add him to the mix, it's just a mess. And they actually went a little smaller today. They played Gallo at like the four spot a lot of the night.
Makes a little sense considering their opponent, right? As far as if tonight was the only – what Sunday night was the only problem, it would make some sense because they were playing against Boston, who generally plays small when they can. But, again, it's been three or four – basically, Jokic has only had one good game this season. He had one game in his second game when they played Portland. He had 23 points, 17 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. Other than that, he really hasn't done much in the other five games.
No, I mean, like, this is the way that I look at it. And I was I think I was tweeting out about this today or yesterday. I mean, I think Nurkic is the guy you want. If you want any of the Denver front court guys, then it's Jokic, then it's Free, then it's Arthur. Now, I know, you know, to start the season, we all wanted Jokic.
So are you telling me in a season-long league you would trade Jokic for Nurkic?
I don't know if I would just make that trade simply because I think I could. People aren't that clever, so I think I could probably get more for him. I'm hoping that people, you know, that I could do better than just a straight up trade like that. But with that said, all things being equal, I probably make that trade. Wow. I'm deeply concerned. I mean, I'm concerned for a number of reasons, Mark. Like you mentioned matchup, right? But that's going to be a pretty common thing. I mean, a lot of teams play small now. That's just the way the NBA is trending. So all along, I think we mentioned this in our first show of the season, having a Jokic-Nurkic lineup, that's just – it's going to be difficult to sustain.
Yeah.
Playing both those guys at the same time.
Yeah, let me provide just a little different perspective on that. So I'm worried about Jokic. He's we're going to get into this a little bit later, but we've got rest of season rankings up on the website now. And he's already dropped 8 spots down to 27 in our 8 category.
I can't believe he only dropped 8 spots.
Yeah. You know, I think basically the way that the algorithm's built is it's hoping for a return to what he did last season. And I think that there's still some reason for that hope. Here's what I would say, though. Nurkic has played really well. He's getting some minutes. I would probably agree with you in a head-to-head league. I would probably agree that Nurkic is better. I would probably still take Jokic to finish higher in an 8 category league, simply because Nurkic is really poor with both of the percentages. Last year, he shot 41% from the field and 61% from the free throw line. Season before that, he shot 44% and 63% from the free throw line. And Jokic is actually very good at both of those. Last season, he shot 51% from the field and 81% from the free throw line. So I would, you don't get big guys who, even if he settles in and has a poor season where he averages, say, I don't know, like 10 points, 7 rebounds, and a steal and a block, but shoots 55% and 80% from the free throw line, that's still going to be pretty valuable in an 8 category league. So I would actually say, if you can, I would buy low on him in 8 category leagues or rotisserie leagues or anywhere that you care about percentages and hope that things sort of turn around. But I would make sure you get him at a discount.
One thing I'll say with what you just said about Nurkic, there's no way that his field goal percentage should stay that low. Like, he's going to be above 50% for the year.
It's never been above 44% is his career high.
Yeah, but Mark, I mean, how many years has he played? I mean,
this is his third season.
Yeah, but
third season.
A 7-footer. I mean, come on. Like, he plays. I mean, he doesn't. Not like he's shooting threes. Like that.
No, I don't know why he's so inefficient. I don't know that I can speak to
him. I mean, I've watched almost every Denver game. Sadly, it's probably why I hate my life. But he's shooting 53% this year, and like he gets so many easy baskets. Like, I'd be shocked if that goes below 50%. That's I don't know what the hell he was doing the last couple of years, but I think his field goal percentage should be fine. The free throw percentage, that's a legitimate worry.
No, I would be worried about both of them because he's shown no evidence that he can make a lot, a high field goal percentage. I don't know if
he's shown it this year.
Yeah. I'm not willing to trust the 6 games, I guess is a better way to say it.
All right.
I'm going to trust the 100 games or so that we have of the rest of his career.
So all things being equal, you're a Nurkic man, right? Still. You're a Jokic man.
Jokic in rotisserie or where you care about percentages, Nurkic otherwise.
All right.
And I'm glad to see Nurkic. I mean, people got tired of me last year talking about how good Nurkic is. So I'm glad that he's getting some recognition, mostly from his coach, that he's good enough to get minutes. And he's going to be a monster with the steals and the blocks and the rebounds. But the percentages, they just kill you. So if you're worried about percentages, I would be a little bit nervous about him. And like I said, I'm actually going to, I think, buy low on Jokic. I think they'll figure it out. I think that they know that he's an important part of their future. And so if I could get him for, like, I don't know, LaMarcus Aldridge, I would probably trade LaMarcus Aldridge for him.
Yes, I mean, I just don't buy that. I mean, the problem is, like, Denver, like, one of the problems with coaches. They just want to win games, right? So, like, they don't think like that, part of the future and all that stuff. Like, that's how we think. But, that's why Phoenix is still starting Tyson Chandler, not Alex Lennon. Similar things like that. I think this is going to be an issue all year. The minutes are going to be a constant pain in the you-know-what.
I would trade Markieff Morris for him. I would trade Miles Turner to get him.
Would you really? Wow, you'd trade Turner. Wow, that's – yeah, see, I would not go there. I think you have more faith in Mike Malone and the Denver coaching staff than I do.
I mean, part of it is that I know that Jokic can do a lot of things in limited minutes. So, like, I don't know that I expect him at this point to get much more than 25, 26, 27 minutes a game, which certainly hurts his ceiling. But I still think even if he's getting – say he gets 25 minutes a game – I think he could pretty easily average 12 points, 8.5 rebounds, a steal, and a block, and shoot really good percentages. So that's, it's not that exciting, but that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I envision them using that Moutier, Harris, Wilson Chandler's been playing terrific. Sliding Gallo a lot to that four, and then you got three to four players, Mark, for one spot. You got Jokic, Nurkic, Fareed, and Arthur. So it's just it's it's troubling. I mean, like I'm off this train. I'm off the bandwagon.
Enough Jokic talk.
Thank God.
let's go to our next one, which is same team. Abe Froman, the famous Nick H, at the famous Nick H, asks, Fried, is he droppable in a 10-man league?
Oh, a 10-man league? Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, dear God, do it now. I mean, 12-man league would be maybe like some, we could have like a legitimate conversation about it. But a 10-man league, you'll be able to find better guys in the waiver wires every single day.
Yeah, I don't even know about a 12-man league. So he's averaging, let's just give some context here. He's averaging less than 24 minutes a game. He scored over tonight. Sunday night was the first time he scored over 10 points. Only the second time he's had more than 10 rebounds. And he, you know, he's notorious in his career for not doing much beyond points and rebounds. So if you're only going to get, he's averaging 8 points, 8 rebounds this season, and a steal, shooting 40% from the field. Certainly expect that field goal percentage to come back up, but if he's only going to play 22 minutes, the only thing he's going to be good for is to pick up like at the end of the week, if you need rebounds. Otherwise, Abe Froman, sausage king of Chicago, you can move on.
Yeah. Dump him in, and move on with your life, man.
Yeah. You got better things to do than worry about Kenneth Fareed in your 10-man league. All right, let's go to the next question. Any update on Drew Holiday? Tim Frazier has been awesome lately. Oh, this is from VP 90244, who's been a supporter of the podcast for multiple years. Any update on Drew? Frazier has been awesome. I own Frazier and Drew in multiple leagues. Frazier gets starters minutes with – does he get starters minutes with Drew back? I think the second part of that question is the easiest one to answer. Tim Frazier will not get starters minutes with Drew Holiday. Daniel Green already mentioned already that – I don't know why I keep using your last name today, but
– that's okay.
It's been fun. Tim Frazier has not been getting starters minutes with Drew Holiday not back. So – I mean, what sort of role do you expect Tim Frazier to have once Drew Holiday gets back?
One word, released. I think Tim Frazier's days are numbered. It's been, like I said, you know, I'm trying to pull up his exact stats, and my computer keeps freezing on me, so I don't even know what it is. But I own him in one season long league, and I've played him a lot in DFS, and it's basically trending all downward. The first couple games were very promising from him, but yeah, clearly now he's not getting the same kind of minutes, and like you just said, they're picking up. Who they just pick up? What's his name?
They just picked up Archie Goodwin.
Yeah, picked up Archie Goodwin, or they're going to, and then
allegedly, yes.
Yeah, and then Langston Galloway has been getting the late game minutes for Tim Frazier. So sadly, when Drew Holiday comes back, I think if you want, you can wait a couple games, because especially if they try to, maybe Drew Holiday will be on minute restrictions the first couple weeks, maybe. I mean, but then again, as long as he's in good
shape. Holiday won't be on a minutes restriction.
Well, just if they try to ease him back, then, maybe they only play him like 24 minutes the first couple games. So, I mean, but basically, the second Drew Holiday is back, you got to get rid of Tim Frazier. Yeah. And to the first part of that question, like, according to Zach Lowe of ESPN, Pelicans are hopeful that he'll be back in like mid-November, so that's pretty soon, which is awesome.
That would suggest in the next week or two.
Yeah, which is great.
Daniel, do you want to back off your statement that Tim Frazier is a top 50 player, or are you sticking with that?
You know what? he is not a top 50 player. I mean, no. Look, he did fine for me the first couple weeks, and so I mean. He didn't quite live up to expectations.
Well, they were pretty reasonable expectations.
Yeah, I mean, he was
just a tough break more than anything.
Yeah, and he was legitimately serviceable. And I said top 50 just until Drew gets back.
Right.
So
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
All right, let's talk about next question. Is from our friend at SodaTran. He says Tyler Johnson value rest of season ? Will Josh Richardson affect it? All right, let's take a look at what Tyler Johnson's done so far this season. He's played 28 minutes in every single one of Miami's games. He hasn't been a starter, but he's played close to starters' minutes. He's averaged in 30 minutes a game, on average 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.4 steals, 1 block, 1.6 three-pointers. He's been a top 50 player so far this season. What's your take on Tyler Johnson? Do you think his production to this point of the season is legitimate? Like, could he continue at this pace if he played these minutes?
Oh, 100% legitimate. And
wow,
he's good. Like, he was good last year. I mean, like, that this is one reason why they were willing to let Wade go. Like, they love Richardson and they love Tyler Johnson. That's why they gave him over $50 million for like a 4-year contract. So no, I mean, those numbers are, he can easily maintain that. And I also think that it's maybe jumping on next part of the question that you were going to go to, but I also think that the odd man out there when Josh Richardson comes back is going to be Deion Waiters, not Tyler Johnson. Like, they don't give a crap about Deion Waiters. He's not a part of Miami's future. Like, their future is Winslow, Tyler Johnson, and Josh Richardson. Those are the guys that need to get, and of course, Whiteside. Those are the guys that need to get minutes. So I see Tyler Johnson's minutes staying right around that area. Maybe he'll lose a couple, but I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know if I have as solid of a read on it as you do, so I'm glad you chimed in there. Waiters has played a ton of minutes so far this season.
Way too many.
Hasn't been very productive in those minutes. He's averaging 33.5 minutes per game, only 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and still he's shooting 35% from the field and 54% from the free throw line. You have to think if his shooting comes up a little bit, he could be a little more productive.
But 100%, that's the guy that's going to be losing the minutes.
You could see, I mean, your case is totally logical of why Tyler Johnson would continue to get minutes and Waiters would go down. I think he's on a short-term minor contract where Tyler Johnson's just signed a huge contract. So,
but also just for basketball reasons, like, Tyler Johnson's a great on-ball defender. Deion Waiters is not. Like, I mean, it's just like, just for basketball sense, it's logical that Deion Waiters is going to be the guy that loses minutes here.
Right. All right, let's go to our next question here. Thoughts on Robert Covington at the moment? All right, let's take a look. Let's give the let's set the table for Robert Covington.
I almost fell out of my chair.
You're not a big fan of Robert Covington?
I'm so sad. I try every year to like get excited about him, and like, he just lets me down.
Robert Covington in 5 games as a starter has scored 20 points, not per game, but in total.
What's he shooting?
Which is not great.
He's got to be shooting less than like 20%.
He is shooting. Why can't I see it? Oh yeah, he's shooting 17%.
I mean, that's just, God.
I don't know if you know this, Daniel, but that's not great.
I mean, like,
percentage. That's not the kind of percentage that gets you to be number 8 scorer in Wisconsin high school basketball history.
That is not, my friend. I mean, he's approaching Rondae Hollis Jefferson territory.
Yeah. He's averaging 4 points, 4.4 rebounds. So he's not letting that poor shooting affect his rebounding percentage. He's averaging 2.6 steals per game, which is really, really good, and 1 block. So my guess is that our opinions are going to diverge a little bit here. I think Covington probably for the season, let's see, where do I have him ranked in the rest of season rankings? I've got him 86. I think he kind of hovers between 80 and 100 for the rest of the season. My rest of the season projection for him right now is 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1.6 steals, 2 three-pointers on 36% shooting. I think that's about right. The only concern I would have is as Philadelphia's roster continues to turn over, and if they made a trade for a wing player, I could see Covington losing minutes with as poor as he's played. But if not, he just gets so many, like, you have to imagine that he's not going to shoot 17% for the rest of the season. He's going to make a lot of threes and he's going to get a lot of steals. And as long as he does those two things, he's going to be serviceable. But I don't think he's going any higher than the 80th best player or so.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, For the most part, I basically agree with you here. I think he probably should still be owned. Well, see, this is the one part where DFS and season long kind of diverge, right? So DFS, yeah, he's been an absolute atrocious nightmare of a player who just been killing me whenever I try to put him in a lineup. But I still think for a season long, he should be owned, and he's probably right around that 80 to 100 spot. The one thing, even though he's been shooting less than 20%, his minutes really haven't gone down. He's stayed right around that 30, high 20s to 30 minute mark, which for Brett Brown is pretty good. There's been numerous points the last couple of years where I really thought he could be a top 40 guy or just a really good player. And I don't know if he's ever going to be that. And, so I'm just not high on him, but just because, like you said, he does a lot of other things well, and he excels at steals. He probably should be owned.
All right, let's get to our next one from Swaggy. Swaggy with two G's, PG93. Wow. He asks, which two do you guys prefer for long-term value? Danny Green, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Terrence Jones, and Josh Richardson.
Wow.
That's a good question. I mean, in some ways, it depends on how long-term you're talking, but I think if you're looking, really long-term, I'm not sure how much longer Terrence Jones is going to be in the NBA. Like, he's
watch
another,
your mouth, Mark. I can't believe you said that.
He's another one of those guys that seems to, like, whenever he gets minutes, he puts up big fantasy production. But
he's coming off a monster game.
Yeah, he seems to struggle to make sure that he's on a roster and is getting playing time. So if I'm looking at long-term prospects, I understand you like Terrence Jones, but of those three guys, if I told you one of these guys isn't in the league in 2 years, I mean, who's your guess?
Wait, so it was MKG?
MKG, Danny Green, Terrence Jones, and Josh Richardson.
Oh, I mean, by far, Terrence Jones is the worst basketball player in real life.
So I'm probably crossing him off. We've got to pick two of them, though. Are you okay with crossing Terrence Jones off?
Yeah.
Okay. So Danny Green, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Josh Richardson.
Danny Green's another one of, like, the Covington guys. He's been in, like, a 2-year shooting slump.
Yeah, it's true. I probably wouldn't put him on. I would probably take the other two.
I mean, I think MKG is really safe. He's really consistent. The minutes are going to be there. And Josh Richardson, I love. So, like, I'd go those two. I mean, like, the only thing that worries me about Danny Green, if he ever could regain the, like, I mean, he shot like 70% from 3-point range in the NBA Finals 1 year. Like, he's a lockdown defender. I really like Danny Green's game.
He gets a lot of blocks, which is nice in fantasy.
Dude, he does. It's like, he's like, man, if he would just start shooting the ball accurately, but he's another one of those guys like Covington who just, he just gets in these long, long slumps. So I'd probably go MKG and Josh Richardson.
Yeah, me too. I think so too. If we're talking long term this year, yeah, I don't know. Maybe those two this year as well. All right, last question is from Justin. That's Justin with three S's and I's.
Why is Covington called Lord Covington?
I think it's just because his name sounds very like proper and like a. Like a royalty.
Is that, that's just why?
As far as I know. Because I remember when people started calling him that, Sir Covington and Lord Covington. I think it just sounds like a British royalty.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Because I would do that too. And then I'd be like, why am I doing that? And then, all right, I'm with you.
All right, Justin asks, which two should I drop? Can't decide. Josh Richardson, Sean Kilpatrick. I'm guessing... He says Rodriguez. I'm guessing that's the Philadelphia point guard, Bazemore and Tyler Johnson. So he has to drop two out of Josh Richardson, Sean Kilpatrick, Sergio Rodriguez, Kent Bazemore, and Tyler Johnson. So who are you for sure keeping out of that group?
Wait, hold on. So like Josh Richardson, Kilpatrick, Rodriguez, Tyler Johnson, and who else?
And Bazemore.
And you got to drop how many?
I'm going to drop two.
Well, I'm definitely keeping Tyler Johnson.
He's your guy, right?
And I think I'm keeping Richardson.
Okay.
Both those guys are just locked. I mean, I think are just locked into high 20s, 30 minutes a game eventually. Like, this is the problem with Kilpatrick, man. Like, I know he stinks at real basketball, but Brooklyn needs someone to score.
I think you got to keep Bazemore. I mean, as kind of pedestrian as his stat line is, I think you've got to keep Bazemore. I think he gets enough threes and steals and scores enough that I probably would keep him. I've got him ranked 77th in my rest of season rankings.
He started the season so bad, Mark.
Yeah, I'm probably keeping him. I'm not overreacting anything that happens in the first five games.
So wait, so which one would you drop? Would you drop Rodriguez or Kilpatrick?
Sergio's.
I'll say this about Sergio, man. I've been like really surprised. Like these European guys, man. He's solid.
He's been fun. Here's my worry with Rodriguez, and I would probably drop him unless I needed assists. Gerald Bayless is coming back at some point, right? And we're already hearing rumors about Nerlens Noel and where he's going to end up. There was a rumor surfaced over the weekend that he would end up in Toronto for Corey Joseph. Don't know whether that would happen or not, but you have to think if they're going to trade Nerlens Noel, it's going to be for a point guard or a wing player. And I just wonder if Rodriguez slowly but surely loses his minutes as Bayless comes back and as other, you know, point guard options emerge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that happening. The only thing with that is, Bayless, as we've seen before, he's not really a point guard. I think Rodriguez is a better point guard than Jared Bayless.
Yeah. But, well, and their true point guard is Simmons, right? But he's out for a while.
Right. So, but yeah, I guess I'm with you. I mean, out of those four.
I'd probably drop Kilpatrick.
You would? Yeah, I mean.
Kilpatrick.
Yeah, definitely would be Kilpatrick or Rodriguez for me. It's
the next rotation is so uncertain. I just don't really want to bother.
Yeah, it's just I'm thinking right now with Lin out, they need Kilpatrick scoring. But I guess I'm fine with, especially if you need assists, drop Kilpatrick.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, that's our entire. Those are the questions we got for the podcast. Pretty good questions, actually.
Pretty solid.
Pretty good amount of questions. As always, if you have more questions, feel free to tweet them at us, and we'll cover them maybe next show. All right, Daniel, I hinted at this a couple of times as we were answering questions, but we now have rest of season rankings on the website. The cool thing is that these are automated. So these pull down stats from a Basketball Reference every single day. They take those into account and they update every single day. So once in a while, kind of funky things happen, like today, Ryan Kelly barely played yesterday, but he got like a steal in 1 minute. And so to extrapolate that into like a 20-minute projection or something, he ended up like 12th in our ranking. So funky things do happen from time to time in these rankings, but they're pretty good and they're pretty relevant. You don't have to wait for like a weekly refresh or anything. So you can go check those out any day. On the website, we have head-to-head rankings, which just look at the positive counting categories. We have 9 category, we have 8 category rankings. And what I thought would be nice for our listeners, Daniel, is if we took a stroll through these, one of the features that they have is it records what their preseason ranking was for each of the players. So you can see how high up or down these players are in relation to their preseason rankings. So for example, Damian Lillard was the 13th ranked player in our preseason rankings. He's up to number 7. He's up 6 spots. Just due to his solid play so far, we've upped his projection for points and also for minutes. So you can look for different things like that. I want to take you through some of the players that have made really sizable jumps so far this season and get your take on if you think they're ranked too high now at this point, if you think they'll come back down to earth, or if you think this is sort of the new normal for the player. First one I wanted to talk to you about, Daniel, is DeMar DeRozan. He has, I don't know, probably had as good of a beginning of the season as anybody in the league. I know he signed that big contract in the offseason, and some people thought he would regress or, you know, do what people do after they sign big contracts, but he's sort of been the opposite. He's scored, I'm trying to pull it up here, scored a ton of points basically in every single game. He's averaging for this season so far, he's averaging 34 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He's shooting 52% from the field goal percentage and 84% from the line. He's getting to the line 9 times per game. What's your take on DeMar DeRozan?
And we should mention his usage rate is second in the league at 37%, only behind Russell Westbrook. And he has a player efficiency rating of 34.08.
What's Westbrook's usage rating?
43.1%.
Oh, my goodness.
And again, you know who's third in the league in usage rate? This is my favorite of all time.
Boogie?
Joel Embiid. 36%.
That makes sense. I could have probably figured that out if I would have.
He's been I'm probably not going to talk about him on the show, but he's been amazing. I love me. I think everyone loves that guy. He is so fun to watch. I cannot wait till he actually can play legitimate minutes.
It's like the whole and we did get an update on that, so probably worth mentioning to talk about him for just a second is the so the update with Embiid is that he's not going to play more than – he's going to be on 24-minute per game minutes restriction until at least Christmas. So – and frankly, he's probably good enough to be owned in almost every league regardless of that minutes restriction, but don't get too excited that it's going to get lifted for the next basically 2 months.
Yep.
So anyway, that's where I – all right, back to DeRozan.
Yeah, so, I mean, DeRozan – I mean, we talk about him. I know I know you're busy with your – you're 17 kids and wife and job, so you probably don't listen to our daily shows. But, I mean, we talk about DeMar DeRozan almost every daily show. I always fade him in DFS because it's just not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. He's a one-trick pony. You know, he leads the NBA in scoring right now. That's just not going to be a thing. It's not – he's been great. I mean, his price in, DFS is, 8.8K today, which was just crazy. But I think that obviously all – everything is going to come down. The field goal percentage, the points, the usage, the free throws. Now, can he still have a really nice year and be better than expected? Sure, but it's not gonna. It cannot sustain the way it is right now.
So my rankings, and again, they're automated, so you don't have to feel bad if you disagree with him. He started the season at 43. He's up to 23. Is that too high?
Yeah, that's too high. I mean, he'll eventually. I think. We could probably split the difference. I mean, I think he'll probably end up right in that 35, right around 35 or so. It's just not. He can't keep this up, Mark.
Okay, now let me push it a little bit further because I want to read you my projection for him, and you can tell me where you think it's too high.
Okay.
So I've got him for
points.
26 points. 26. Points. I've got him projected for 26 points, which would be up. Basically 2.5 points from his average last season.
Yeah, that's too high because, first of all, remember, he doesn't shoot threes.
No.
So crazy because you watch him play. He makes so many contested twos, long contested, 20-foot twos, and you're thinking, bad shot, bad shot, bad shot. Oh, my God. Nice shot. The fact that he doesn't take threes – that's why that once that percentage goes down and the free throws go down, the points are just going to go down. I mean, I see him averaging what's his career? You said about 22
last season. He averaged 23.5.
Okay.
I've got him for 26 for the rest of the season.
So I think he'll go back down to about 23.5.
Yeah. If he goes down that far, you're probably right. He's ranked too high.
Yeah.
All the rest of his projection looks pretty reasonable, actually. I've got him for 45% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. Those are right in line with his career averages. Less than a 3 per game, which is what you would expect from him. 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.2 steals. So I think actually that projection is pretty achievable. Just depends on whether you think he can get that many points or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the shooting percentage, I think the field goal percentage goes down a little bit and the points go down a decent amount.
He actually shot, and I think it's probably because he doesn't take many threes. He actually shot 45% from the field last year. So I think that's probably about where he ends up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Cause especially because I'm, used to be a big Miami fan when Wade was there. I just remember watching those playoff games, and he would have games of 2 for 20, and so would Lowry. And you're like, of course he does, because every shot he takes is horrible. It's a contested 22-foot fadeaway. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty surprising that he can shoot that well.
I mean, he looks at the basket a lot. I mean, he's going to average as many free throw attempts as he's going to be in the top probably 10 in free throw attempts this season. And I think that's pretty typical for him.
Yeah. So, I will say it's cool to see someone after they get the contract, still come inspired and have a good year. Like that's
good. He's bringing it, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next guy. Kind of a surprise for me, at least. He's up 14 spots from number 50 overall. He's up to 36. That's Tobias Harris. Season so far, he is averaging in six games, he's averaging 19 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 three-pointers, a steal, and just under a block per game on 55% from the field. Daniel, what do you think?
I mean, as Russell Westbrook would say, why not? these are sustainable numbers, in my opinion. Like, you know, as I think I was telling you pre-show, I mean, my only comment here is the GM of Orlando should be fired. It was just a horrendous trade. They gave him away for nothing, and he's really good. Sam Van Gundy loves him. The minutes are going to be there for sure. The shots are there. The only caveat is that this is with Reggie Jackson out. So when Reggie comes back, will his shots go down a little bit? I'm real quick. I'm trying to pull up his usage rate. So that may worry me. I mean, even now his usage rate, I mean, it's not even on the first page of the, he's not in the top 50. So I think that's sustainable. I mean, maybe it will dip a tiny bit because of Reggie Jackson. Those numbers seem fine to me. What about you?
Yeah. It's always a little surprising to me that he ranks so high. Like, I know it's just the math, but the math always kind of takes me off guard with him because it's like the projection seems pretty pedestrian, right? Like 17.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 0.5 a block, 1.5 threes. And like,
yeah, but then add great percentages.
Yeah, great percentages. And he gets up to 36 overall. Like, but you wouldn't think that he's a third rounder with those types of numbers, but it's just kind of a whole package sort of deal. So I actually think because of that, he's a good buy low candidate. Like, I don't think, even though he's played well, I think people might be thinking like, I don't know if he can keep this up. I probably should sell on him. And I actually think you could trade somebody like maybe Jabari Parker for him or Rudy Gay for him or, again, Markieff Morris, who's played well this season, something like that. And I think you'd be pretty happy with the deal. All right. And the other big jumpers in the rankings that we've already kind of talked about, Avery Bradley took a big jump up. We talked about him last week. Markieff Morris took a big jump. Miles Turner, I think we've talked about him.
You know what? We should do it. Me and you should do a no halftime with Miles Turner and your boy Jokic. since you would make that trade.
Yeah. So, but I'm expecting better. Like I'm expecting Jokic to sort of climb, right?
And Turner has not been that great last few games, by the way. He started off blazing. He's come back down to earth.
All right. We'll keep that in mind.
All right.
Let's do a couple more players, and we'll talk about no halftime.
Look at Mark backtracking off of the Jokic. He knows I had him. He knows I had him cornered.
As you always say, daily fantasy and season long are not the same. It's not like I get extra points for having like a really good free throw percentage.
That's valid.
I would take Nurkic against him, though.
That would be a fair matchup. I'd probably take Turner just because he's probably more locked into minutes. Although his minutes have been down lately too, which has been annoying.
Yeah, it has. All right, let's talk about our next guy on here.
Okay,
Julius Randle. He's up 23 spots. He's up to 64 in our rankings. Previously, preseason rankings, he was at 87. He's had some solid games capped off by his most recent game against Golden State where he got 20 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. He shot 10 of 18 from the field and took 0 free throw attempts. He's made a three-pointer in every single one of his – or excuse me, he's taken a three-pointer in every single one of his games, but he's only made one on the season. What do you think about Julius Randle?
It's funny that you mentioned him, and you can even, like, time check this. I sent out a tweet about 2 minutes ago asking what the hell is going on with Randall tonight. We're taping this on a Sunday night. It's about 11:45 at night. I have Randall in like all my DFS lineups, and I have a couple really nice lineups going, and he's the one guy holding me back. So I was like, what's the deal with him? So after telling you that story, that probably wasn't very riveting. I was not a Randall fan coming into the year, and now I might not be tonight because he may be costing me a little money. But he's a lot more talented than I thought. Like, he's just got aspects of his game that I really like. So I've been impressed, man. I've been impressed with his ability. One, like his like just ball handling and dribbling ability. I mean, he gets the rebound. He initiates that offense more than D'Angelo Russell. I mean, it's pretty crazy to watch him play. So I think you know, our projections and the numbers we have, like, he can easily maintain that. My one concern, and I'm not sure how much of a concern this is, though, it's Luke Walton. Like, what he's doing with the minutes for all these guys is pretty interesting to watch. Like, none of the Lakers are really getting big minutes. He plays like 10 guys. Like tonight, guess which guy is getting got the most minutes?
I'm actually looking at the box score right now, but
it's Nick Young, by far. And D'Angelo Russell and Randall both are at 22 minutes, and Nick Young is 30 minutes. So like I wish Randall would just get more minutes. And this game is with Larry Nance went out with a concussion, as we stated earlier in the show. So I thought for sure he's going to get a ton of minutes tonight, and so that may hold him back a little bit. But he's clearly a part of their future. I like his game, and I think these projections are fine.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about one more guy, and then we will solidify our no halftime challenge here. George Hill. He was in our preseason rankings at 109. He's up to 73. He's played great so far this season. And I think some people would say in large part because Gordon Hayward has been out. However, on Sunday, Gordon Hayward returned, which is exciting. He played 35 minutes, so I don't think you have any concerns about getting Gordon Hayward in your lineup next week. Scored 28 points. Even with all of that, Daniel, Gordon Hayward took 17 shots and 14 free throw attempts. George Hill still had 23 points, 9 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a 3-pointer. What do you think about George Hill rest of season?
Well, this is a little bit trickier one.
Yeah.
And I'll put a caveat. Utah is one of the teams I've watched least this year because I played them the least in DFS.
Is that because their pace is so low?
Yeah, their pace is so slow. They always have the worst over-under by far. Derek Favors has been – I don't know what the hell's going on with him. He never plays much minutes. I know he was banged up to start the year. Hayward's been out. George Hill is boring to watch play basketball.
He's been great this season. He's averaging 20 points, five assists. 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, shooting 54% from the line.
Field. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's been tremendous. I mean, I still watched a little.
Yeah.
And he looks, you know, rejuvenated there. I mean, like you said, the big issue now is with Gordon Hayward back. You know, as I think me and you would talk about all the time last year, we were hoping that Gordon Hayward would initiate the offense, become a playmaker. He would get lots of assists because they never had a real point guard last year, and that never seemed to be the case. So, you know, maybe that won't affect George Hill that much, and he still can have, you know, have the role that he has now. I mean, I see, you know, but I do see these numbers coming down a little bit. I've just seen George Hill play too many games.
Yeah.
So I think yeah, I mean, you know,
and we have a good body of work for what George Hill can give us.
Right. So I don't think
shooting this well from the field. He's not right. So shooting 50%.
So like these stats aren't sustainable. But
right.
With that said, he can still have a good year and it can be a really nice fantasy player.
But I really like the projection that we have for him up on the website right now, which is 13 points, just under 4 rebounds and 4 assists. He's going to make just under 2 3-pointers and get a steal per game.
But to Mark, this would be kind of a perfect sell high guy.
Exactly. I was going the same place.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to kind of for instance, I don't know if you probably wouldn't make this trade because they're not really, they do different things on the court, but like I see like Devin, we have like George Hill ranked 72nd and Booker 73rd. If you could trade like George Hill for Booker, I would do that in like a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm thinking a little higher. Like, could you get Tobias Harris for him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, if you get something like that, that'd be fantastic.
That type of a trade. Like, yeah. Go for somebody a little higher. Could you get, you know, somebody else who struggled? You know, Jokic would probably be the ultimate. I doubt that you could get him. But I would.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, people
–
like,
try that. Try something
people
like
are
that.
Pretty, people get pretty pissed, like, especially when they see the minutes. Yeah. So I would throw out a George Hill for, you know,
Ricky Rubio is who's out right now. Maybe you could get the owner to trade you Rubio for George Hill.
Yeah. He's definitely a guy you should dangle out there and see what kind of offers you get.
Absolutely.
I got a guy. And I want your opinion because this guy, I'm done. I'm just done. And by done, I mean, I will definitely play him next time that he plays in DFS. Serge Ibaka.
Seems like a healthy relationship.
Serge Ibaka. Have you seen, I don't know if you watch Orlando, if you watch Serge play. I don't know what the hell is going on with this guy. I was expecting so much better from him. He's basically looked like the same crappy player he was looking at the end of OKC. He just stays out by the three-point line. He's not rebounding. He's not blocking shots, even though I guess his blocks are better than I thought. He just looks
– not really. He's averaging less than a block per game.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the projections. So he looks so disinterested. It's – I don't know. What's your thoughts and what do you do if you're a Serge Ibaka owner? And I have him in a lot of leagues, by the way.
It's kind of interesting, right? Like in Orlando this offseason, everybody was like – they did a lot of things and it doesn't make sense. And literally everybody was saying that. And it sometimes it seems to me like when consensus is so strong that's when the teams come out and surprise everybody. But in this case, everybody was exactly right. Like Orlando looks really, really bad. Ibaka looks really, really bad. He's averaging 5 rebounds and less than a block per game. You know, last season he averaged 7 rebounds and 2 blocks per game. But I don't know. If he's not going to block any shots, he's droppable. That's really what it comes down to. Like even last season, he wouldn't have been worth owning except for his block shots. I was kind of hoping he would come to Orlando, and he's probably, you know, I think they thought he was going to be their best player this season and thrive in that role, and he really hasn't so far. So I would be happy to sell high on him or sell low on him, I guess, is what it would be at this point. I'm not sure you can.
Yeah, I mean it's a tricky spot, man. Like I don't know what to do with him. Like you said, without those blocks, and he gets like further. I wouldn't be surprised like if a couple games from now he's just sitting in like the stands, like he's so far away from the basket, Mark. And I'll be like screaming at the TV. I'm like, dude, like you're not gonna block anything out there, you bumbling buffoon. It's just, yeah. I mean, I don't know, not what I expected. I'm like you, man. I really thought he could have a big year.
Yeah, but I've done a 180 on that. I think I don't want anything to do with him. If I can trade him, that would be great. And if not, I'm probably like 2 weeks away from dropping him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and I think my only hope is that Vogel comes up with like a better plan to use him because their entire team has not looked good. And you know, Vogel's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Yep, exactly. All right, Daniel, let's finish this off by talking about players that we want to focus on in our no halftime challenges this week. And again, just to remind everybody, no halftime, our favorite sponsor here on the podcast, is an easy way to get involved in daily fantasy. You just have to pick one player and you get to match him up. There's no salaries. There's nothing else to worry about. You just match him up against another player. And as long as you and your opponent agree on the two players, then the challenge is a legitimate challenge and you get to bet whatever amount of money you want on it. And whoever scores more fantasy points in their next game wins the challenge. So Daniel, I think first of all, I think we have a challenge against each other, which is Miles Turner versus Yusuf Nurkic.
That's right. I'll take Nurkic, Jokic combined. You can have both of them.
Absolutely. I'll take that.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I will absolutely do that. I'm not as ecstatic as I would have been a couple days ago because Miles Turner, his minutes have come down too a little bit. But yeah. I still think that's a pretty fair challenge.
Who else? What other trends do you think? Like you mentioned DeRozan, who is not sustainable. You've been fading him. That yeah. seems like an easy way to fade him is to go up against him in a challenge.
Yes.
Like who do you think? Would you feel?
Oh God! Like the way that he's playing right now, man. You should like. You could probably throw out some crazy ones against him.
Could you get
like,
Lillard against him?
Or yeah. Yeah.
Paul George or LeBron or.
I mean, Paul George, by the way. He like man, he's cost me some money too. Speaking of guys who have not started the year that
speaking well, speaking of guys who punted the ball into the stands.
Oh God, I had him in so many lineups. And I'm watching that game live, and I could like see him. I could see him do it, and as he's doing it, I'm like, wait a minute, like that's he's like you could tell he was gonna miss the padding, yeah. And sure enough, he hit that young girl in the face and ejected immediately, and I just cried. But yeah, no, you could easily throw out a Paul George, DeMar DeRozan challenge. I'm sure people would probably accept that right now, or like a Kyle Lowry,
Kyrie DeMar Irving, DeRozan.
Yeah.
Well, so, is there anybody else you're looking to fade this week?
I'm just real. You know. You know, I'm not looking to fade this guy, but this is probably an interesting guy to talk about.
Yeah.
Real quickly, Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
And I know, like, the Bulls with the Rondo Wade-Butler situation. He just hasn't looked that great, quite honestly. Yeah, and I got nothing else to say.
All right. Yeah, about that. Go against him. So who's somebody you could take against him? Dragic?
No, well, no. I mean, I just want to. Can I get your quick thoughts on the Bulls? Have you watched them?
Yeah, and they had those couple of good games, and so it's hard to say much negative about them, except for I don't know. I'm really interested to see how sustainable it is.
You know what? Scratch what I said about Jimmy Butler. Look, you know who I would attack the hell out of, and I'm fading. You know, I'm fading entirely these days. That's Rondo. Right. Rondo is like the Bulls are basically playing 4-on-5 on offense. Like you, it was funny, man. Like against Indiana yesterday. So Jeff Teague, he was basically just roving playing the passing lanes. Like he wasn't guarding Rondo at all. And then there were stretches when the Bulls had the ball on offense. Rondo would basically hug Teague, so Teague couldn't go rove, and so Teague had to stay with him. Like Rondo's a guy. He's been like 2% owned in DFS tournaments. His minutes have gone down a little bit. He's just, you know, I think we've all said it's not a good fit with Rondo, Wade, and Butler. So that's a guy who I would try to attack in no halftime.
Excellent, excellent suggestion. Who's somebody you think you could get against him? George Hill?
You could absolutely get George Hill against Rondo. Yeah.
I'd do that.
I would do that too. You could do like you could even do guys like Zach LaVine versus Rondo, I would do. Or like an Eric Bledsoe versus Rondo.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
You know, ones like that. But Rondo's a guy to take advantage of. I'm not sure I see that he's gonna have to be traded. That's my personal opinion, but I don't know if that's gonna happen or not, but
yeah, I kind of think the Bulls have peaked already, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, they didn't peak the last two games because they got destroyed, and it really is because they're playing 4-on-5. Like Rondo, he's so bad offensively, and then Wade clearly on a back to back. Wade is half the player he is on when he gets rest. They need shooting, and they're a better team when Cannon plays. Actually they were better before MCW got hurt. Like he was a better player than Rondo. Cause I mean, Rondo can't shoot at all. So I mean, it's just tough to play him these days in the modern NBA, especially when you have two other guys who need the ball and can't shoot either. So right. Even though Wade's been making some threes this year.
All right, Daniel, sadly that brings us to the end of our season long discussion for this week.
Season long.
But Daniel and Kyle and Tyler will be back tomorrow with Daily Fantasy Talk. I will be back next week to break down what's going on in week 4. Maybe we'll have our weekly rankings up by then.
You don't have a sneaky ninja pickup of the week, of the waiver wire pickup?
Well, I think Drew Holiday is a pretty good one.
There you go.
I think he's close enough. If he's only a week or two away, I think that's going to be your best chance to pick up a top 50 player for the rest of the season. So I've already put a few waiver claims in for him tonight, hoping to get him. Anybody else? No, that's – go pick up Drew Holiday. Archie Goodwin in deep leagues I think is a good pickup. And
would you drop Brandon Knight real quickly?
I'm
real quickly just going down our rankings and looking at guys who have dropped and who I think listeners are probably concerned with.
No, I still kind of think once he sorts out his role, like I don't have a problem dropping him, but I don't think I'm dropping him yet.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think he, that six man role is just like too tasty for me to think he doesn't figure out how to play against backups and do really well in like 26 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So, but if you need a roster spot, you need a roster spot at some point. And I'm fine, you know, I'm fine with cutting loose on a guy who's playing as poorly as he is. But I just think like he's still getting 13 shots per game. You know, as soon as he starts averaging 43% from the field, he's going to be in the 15, 16, 17 point range, and that's going to be pretty valuable.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just funny to watch Phoenix play because now it's like, man, like Booker and Warren get so many shots. Like, you know, and then you add Bledsoe, Bledsoe's, he's like the third wheel now. And like how quickly things change in the NBA.
Exactly. And Brandon Knight's coming off the bench. Yeah. You know, like if he was getting seven shots a night, I probably would say drop him. But the fact that he's still getting 13 shot attempts per night, and I only expect it to go up as he becomes more comfortable with his role.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
All right. And hopefully you guys are all liking the podcast. If you do, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast and say something nice about Daniel.
Other than that, I would say feedback is always appreciated. If you guys like the fact that we answered questions on the season-long pod, if you have any questions you want us to answer on the daily pod shows, you know, feel free to tweet at any of us, and we'll try to answer those as well. So, I mean, it's always good to hear from you guys.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we're signing off. We'll see you again. Daniel will see you again probably tomorrow. I will see you again next week. Good luck to everybody in their week three matchups. And hopefully you win, and we'll again talk to you again next week. Thanks.
Later, guys.